If you're the belt and suspenders type, listen up. Thanks to the magic of Medicare, federal employees have the option of getting extra coverage after they retire. Federal benefits expert Tammy Flanagan explains some of the fine points of combining Medicare with your federal employee health benefits plan.
With Medicare and federal retirement benefits, it's so confusing because federal employees don't really need Medicare coverage. Their federal health benefit will still cover them. However, there's a real advantage to having the dual coverage. So many employees, when they retire, have confusion about which federal health plan works best with Medicare, and some people choose not to enroll in Medicare Part B because of the additional premium that they have to pay.
Tell me again, I'm not quite there yet in my life, but Medicare Part B is additional coverage over what you get for, quote-unquote, free with Medicare.
Right. So Medicare has four parts, basically. So Part A of Medicare, that's the tax that we all pay, the 1.45% hospital insurance tax. But the only thing that provides is coverage under Medicare Part A, which is only coverage when you go into the hospital to spend the night. So it's inpatient care only. The other part of Medicare that we call original Medicare is Medicare Part B. And sometimes that's referred to as doctor's coverage or outpatient care. And so if you enroll in Medicare Part B when you're 65 or for some people who when they're disabled, that provides additional coverage for outpatient services. What's confusing to federal retirees is that they already have that coverage with their federal health insurance. And for most federal employees, they continue their federal health insurance for the rest of their life. So the big question comes up, why would I add additional duplicate health insurance if I already have that? And the answer is that the coordination between the two generally gives, in many cases, 100% coverage. So instead of having to pay deductibles, co-payments, and co-insurance, when a federal retiree adds Medicare A and B to their federal health plan, they'll generally have 100% coverage for all of their medically necessary care. The only problem is now they have to pay two premiums, so it does cause some confusion as to what's the best choice with the federal health plan.
And that was my question. You are paying two premiums, so let's just, for the purposes of figuring, say your FEHBP plan is $100 a month. Mm-hmm. Relative to that, what is Medicare Type B likely to be? Is it another $100? Is it another $25? I mean, how does it relate to the standard
cost,
or the average premiums that you would pay for FEHBP?
Yeah, so Medicare Part B, this was the big question. Up until yesterday, finally, Medicare announced the premiums for 2016 because there was this fear, this real fear, that the premiums were going to go up 50% next year, which would have taken them up to over $150 a month. Luckily, Congress put a remedy to some extent to that and did not raise the premiums at all for those people who have Medicare withheld from a Social Security payment. So for many people next year, the premium will stay at about $105 a month. But yet, that's still $1,200 a year, and if you're a married couple, that's double that because you and your spouse both have to pay that premium. And many federal health plans cost at least $200 a month, and many will cost even much more than that. So what I tell retirees that to reevaluate which federal health plan you're in, because once you have that dual coverage, you may not need to be in the most expensive federal health plan. There's many plans that cost less than, you know, what you might pay for the plan you're in and still provide that wraparound 100% coverage.
Tammy Flanagan is a federal benefits expert and consultant. Yeah, so what you're saying then is you really need to do some homework on which FEHBP plan you pick so that it meshes well, both financially and in terms of coverage, with Medicare Part B.
You hit the nail on the head, and I think that's the thing most people just get overwhelmed with, just like doing your taxes. It's something that we don't fully understand, so we look at this and it starts to look like Greek. But yet there's a lot of resources out there, and I would say the best one to start with is the Office of Personnel Management's website. They have a whole list of, you know, your available plans, and most people do have 20 to 30 to choose from, which in itself is overwhelming. But if you narrow it down to the ones that fit the category, whether you like an HMO or whether you like a fee-for-service plan, that's going to narrow your list down to maybe 5 to 10 plans. And then from there, just look at the ones that you like and compare how they work with Medicare. Every federal health plan brochure has Section 9, which is the part that deals with coordinating Medicare with that plan. And so you do have to do some homework. It's going to take you a couple of hours if you really want to do a good evaluation of what your choices are. But in the end, you can save literally thousands of dollars.
And what are the consequences if you switch plans, that is to say, on FEHBP? Do you need to have a new physical, or can you be denied coverage and all of a sudden you're up the creek without a paddle? How does that all work?
Yeah, that's a common question, too. But the good news is Federal Employees Health Benefits Plan has never had a clause to eliminate you from getting coverage if you have a pre-existing condition. So both federal employees as well as federal retirees can freely switch plans any open season without fear of being rejected or being too sick to get into the new plan. So they have to take you. And that's a really good sense of security that people have whenever they do switch plans. I think the biggest fear is that there's going to be something that happens in the coordination of dropping one plan and picking up the other, and that's not going to go smoothly, and we do worry about just the administration of it. But for the most part, it's a pretty simple thing to do.
And for Medicare Part B, if you say, suppose you go to one of those x-ray clinics and they give you a really fantastic bill of health and you say, well, I'll try a couple of years just going with the FEHBP. I don't think I'll need Medicare. You can come in and out of that without consequence?
Well, you can as far as your health goes. Medicare will take you when you're 97 if you want to delay enrollment. The problem is that if you delay enrollment in Medicare Part B, there's a 10% per year surcharge. So in other words, if I could have taken it at 65 and I delay enrolling until I'm 70, for those 5 years that I've saved paying the premium, for the rest of my life, I'm going to incur a 50% surcharge on top of the $105 a month. And that's a lifetime increase to my premium. So you really have to think carefully about delaying enrollment for too long because of that pretty extensive surcharge.
So if you're 65 and you feel you can afford the $100 a month, or you and your spouse can each afford it, it sounds like just get it.
Yeah, my recommendation is I'd rather be safe than sorry. And what you can do, if you're still enjoying good health, which hopefully at age 65 you are, switch to one of the least expensive federal health plans, because they're all going to provide good catastrophic protection. And don't pay those high premiums until you really need to later on in life if you develop a very expensive illness to treat. So take advantage of some of the plans with lower premiums, add that Medicare Part B coverage, and you're probably not going to be paying much more than you are now with a more expensive federal health plan. And that way you've left your options open.
Tammy Flanagan is a federal benefits expert. To share this interview with colleagues, go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.